wanted. I think there was some disappointment. I remember asking about the end of the Interzuma Court, but I see there is, in fact, a date being set for opening next week. Was there not wasn't there something else we asked the department, and then we wanted more information from the public protector on the issue of who she'd written to in Delay, South Africa, and then the question of the Times article.
Were we going to write to the public protector, or did you
No, public, no, no, it was, remember when I asked the public protector, Legal Aid South Africa said quite clearly in the letter that they wrote to the public protector, you did not inform us.
Okay.
I then put that to her, I mean that letter is sort of common cause, and she then said, oh, I shouldn't have asked, I shouldn't have accused her or something, might not have been those words, I should have asked her, did they respond, and that is what we had, I had asked, can you ask her? Whether she, you know, if she disputes that last allegation, then can she produce, can she substantiate it? Lasa had done, there was nothing more they could say. They say they didn't get it. Outside this process, I mean, we need to have it on our agenda.
Yeah.
I did skim read the judgment, and it's basically a judge being very critical of one of the state attorneys.
None of us. No,
but he then, in terms of his judgment, it was to the minister and to the Justice Committee.
Yeah,
but I don't think that was part of the budget process. Okay, maybe I think it should be on our agenda, but maybe as a starting point, should we not? I don't think we need to have a meeting to agree on this. Should we not send it to? I mean, the relevant official responsible. So that could be the DG, or it could be below the DG, which I think is listed. Is Mr. Govender is the state attorney?
I'm not sure.
But anyway, should we not? There is a state attorney.
Yes.
We could send it there, or is Mr. Daniels not overall responsible? But I suppose the senior official is the director general, and should we not start by sending it to her to say, please give us your, when we have it on the agenda, please can we ensure that we have your comments on this and whether you agree with the findings made by the court and what disciplinary steps have been taken by the department, so that we've got that as a basis to consider. And I don't think we need to have a long debate around asking for that. I think it's obvious.
Previous reports. So What I suggest is that I skip through until we get to part 8, which deals with the first set of the committee's responses. One is really our introduction. What I just wanted to draw attention to under 1.2 was that we reflect that we had public hearings this year, which is a new development. And we were disappointed that the response was not more, but that the submissions that we did here were very bad. Then 1.5 hasn't been, it was just an afterthought, and really what I wanted to reflect there is that we met with the Office of Chief Justice, but they're not a vote yet, so there was really a meeting just for them to set out their plans and their funding. So that would just be an extra paragraph. and then obviously 1.7 and 1.8 need to be updated once the report is finalized.
Do we stop if we go along with
it? Okay. I know we didn't do it this year, but last year we did invite the Bar Council and the Law Society on the basis that they are we didn't invite them specifically, there was a general advert. Or do we did? It's just a pity that they don't come, because they would have from their members greater experiences of what is happening in the courts or other aspects. I mean, well, from the Bar Council, the courts, and the Law Society would be more broader than just the courts, because it would include other. What is Mr. Swartz wanting to mutter to Ms. Swartz that he doesn't want me to even see, let alone hear?
I'm thinking about their judgment on the issue.
What about
cost? They have only appropriate.
But anyway, so this maybe whether that
I have no recollection of our inviting them last year. What you're essentially saying is when we issue a general thing, they ought to have come.
Yes, and last year we did invite them, and they decided not to pitch. I remember. Yes,
yes,
we did.
Specifically, we targeted them in the same way that this year we targeted certain people. And
what did we target this year?
I
mean,
in the general letter.
But anyway, maybe the general point should be that we've started these hearings, they're useful. The one that we got from was useful. We have made efforts to try and involve others, and it's a pity that more people are not taking us up on the issue.
We don't have to mention the Law Society and the Bar Council specifically, but it's just, I think what I'm just then saying is that there should be a paragraph with the points that people involved in the justice sector are not taking up, and we hope that next year they will. More will.
So, what is BSTRA? Correct one.
Civil Society Prison Reform Initiative. All the acronyms I'll make sure are what you're asking for.
What you could also do is do a good doctor at the end of that I've seen done. Not in annual reports, but in general documents.
Then paragraph 2 deals with just an overview of the vote, the entire vote. 3 is a political vote.
2.7, I didn't understand 2.7, page 4.
Yes.
Cabinet approved reductions of fees over the medium term are affected over the spending of corporate and services. The language I couldn't understand what was.
Taken directly from the E&E, but I will.
Taken directly can approve or take this overspending for good. Is it overspending or overspending?
I think it's wrong.
So maybe.
Yeah, I did note that I don't know if anybody else has that Ms. Silkstone's email came out at 4 in the morning.
Yes.
So I...
I'm going to forgive her all from putting a confession.
Then part 3 is a little overview of the vote.
3.1.2.
Yes.
I know
the
general elections are going to be imminent.
Why
elections
are important?
And then in the next one, 3.1.2, your last sentence doesn't make any sense. In this one, the lack of activity.
Yeah, I want to suggest that you know, that basically members, particularly those who have editing experience, go through the maybe not this draft but the next draft, and to check on the editing, but and that we focus more on the first issue.
We've noted that as 314 Louis Phillips, the perpetrators have not been named yet.
Well, the announcement was made in April.
So the naming and shaming wasn't supposed to have been made in April.
But the announcement regarding shame. And you know, the minister has responded to the Sunday for the press conference.
Okay.
And then we had one such. Because I'm an unfortunate journalist, been phone a person on Sunday. And I'm never inclined to want to comment.
Was to be made in April. I mean, if that's what he said.
It wasn't made.
Yes, but it wasn't. But he. You can't say will be because April is past. He said it will be made in April.
Did he say that?
Well, if that's what he said. So if you're now in May looking back, then surely the correct report on what he said, because this is just a report on what he said.
Yeah.
Is that a naming and shaming was to be made in April.
What does it mean? Is
corruption, crime and corruption, this is what he said, poses a great threat to the realization of all five priorities of government. An announcement regarding the naming of the chairman of the was to be made, yeah.
And it wasn't,
and I did mean.
Well, it's not evident. This is a report on what he said.
And that's the thing. Ending, this is what we want to know.
That's the issue we are in.
And it's our responsibility
to
complete the what you want.
And you put down the 3.2, you say, we note that the...
You haven't. When can we expect it?
Yeah.
You should have said it's imminent.
Deals with the department's revised strategic plan and its annual performance plan. Can I continue to five?
Sorry, why is 4.8 in yellow?
Oh, we're just the yellow means that add some information.
You don't have that.
That's because he's got sharp.
Christine, in 4.3. Yeah. Initiatives are underway to capacitate the OCJ and to execute its legislative responsibilities flowing from the Superior Court Bill and the relevant legislation. After discussion, the following initiatives are envisaged for 2013-14. What does that mean? After discussion, the following initiatives are envisaged. This is now bottom page 6.
Could it not be the OCJ reported that the following initiatives are envisaged?
Mm.
And you've got two initiatives, so you may want to look at changing one of them.
What do you mean you've got two?
Initiatives are underway, and then the following initiatives, but it maybe doesn't matter. But I think it's not cut out after the discussion. It's just, this is the DG's report, so it would be the following initiatives are in business.
Okay.
Then again, in 4.8, that's yellow highlighted, that needs to be just updated. 4.9, I feel, with the infrastructure and those dates need to be at the top of page 9, need to be checked. I know it's due for completion this year, but the wording is not clear. Okay, part 5 deals with administration. And in 5.6 and 5.7, again, the information needs to be added. Similarly, in 6, deals with the court services program. And then 8 is the committee's response. And then I got creative, but I don't know. And as such, the committee believes that there's some merit in including where progress is reflections on progress made during this time. So I'm not too sure whether I actually managed to do that in response, but it's maybe.
just on that point, we will be doing a BRR.
Yeah.
Would it not be maybe more appropriate to put it in there? Because that will be effectively the last budget report of the committee. So if we have reflections that we want to mention, let's mention them. But let's not try and aim for a comprehensive reflection. Let's aim for that in the BRR report.
Give more time. So I would then suggest that some areas in the treaty where appropriate reflections on progress made during the time.
And then are we under 482, did Treasury not respond?
No.
Can we check, because this institution, is big.
It's a problem. Well, too, I mean, it's a problem. We made a big loan, money bonds, and how it's supposed to work. I mean, in my opinion,
Then, Chair, if Treasury hasn't responded, can we also then, under the recommendations, because it's a very, very important point, and it then can just get a bit lost if it's just left here all on its own, if we somehow take that point out and put it in the sort of final recommendations as well, with a cross-reference. So it stays where it is, it's fine, but we then just, so it doesn't get lost, it gets highlighted elsewhere.
I think there's certain points of quality and happy that is it necessary in 8.2, for instance, to state all of the first part, many deep procedures and so on, set out the process that allows Parliament to make recommendations. Shouldn't we take it as a given that that is the case and then simply start where we have done what we did in terms of that process?
Continuous process of aligning budgets and plans, but I agree, it's not really necessary. Yeah, we can put that in our BRR report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then
we start dealing with the fiscal constraints, and this is just a general. I mean, we may want to tie some here as well, and to be aware of the broader economic context, to be concerned about the impact. And then I note that the Auditor General's observation may be part of the work performance in terms of pre-term objectives have also experienced the greatest financial pressure. So I'm trying to link the budget cuts with economy performance.
The briefing we got from the Auditor General's office doesn't feature elsewhere in the report, shouldn't it? I think there should maybe be a paragraph. If you look at under 1.3 on page 2, you've got the briefings. Maybe before then, you have a little paragraph that on such and such a day, we had an input from the Auditor General's office. And then I don't know whether there's two things with the committee noted previously, the Auditor General's observation made in passing. There's two points. It wasn't the Auditor General, it was people from his office. I don't know if anyone can, because if one sees it with the Auditor General's comment, then one thinks of Terence Nombembe. When it wasn't him, it was his office, but maybe that's getting too technical. And then I don't think made in passing is relevant. I think it's the comments with the worst performers.
Sorry?
Well, I think the point she's making is that it wasn't part of the presentation. But I think they said it, and I don't think there's any dispute on it. It's not like, yeah. So I just don't think made in passing is necessary. I think it's the Auditor General's delegation from the Auditor General's office. This is observation of the worst performance.
Is that correct, though? That they said that the worst performance in the whole of the public sector?
No, in terms of this vote.
General people we had were only for justice, yes. So they know nothing about probably
allocated 11% of the share, and then I question whether this is, I don't know the word realistic is correct, but given the department's extensive mandate, whether this share is appropriate or correct. And then I also link to recent policy developments such as government's focus on addressing gender-based violence and public violence support, which will require additional resources that the budget does not appear to provide. Also, established policy objectives such as ensuring two prosecutors for each court no longer appear to be attainable. Deals with the department's large capital work budget, which it has difficulty spending. I'm not too sure whether the rest of that paragraph is actually well placed here. It may be better placed and when I deal with court infrastructure and maintenance. And then 8.3.5 is the impact of funding the commissions of inquiry. And here it wasn't clear if the department has been reimbursed for these commissions or whether funding is from its baseline. And the article for more greater clarity on this. Further clarity on this. Four deals with policy and strategic planning. Yeah, the lowering of targets is a concern. And I use the example of the reduction of fraud and corruption cases and also the reduction of targets with regard to their grievance cases and their misconduct cases. And there the committee believes that reducing these targets not only gives the wrong message but is also counterproductive as it is in the interest of operational efficiency and effectiveness that these matters are dealt with expeditiously. Uh-huh. F1.4.2 deals with the National Development Plan, and the comment is that the committee understands that for now, and that part will continue to focus on delivering an outcome 3 with certain adjustments, and still these will need expanding on if the plan or vision needs to be achieved. And then I say it is disappointing that there's no clear link between the NDP and this possible plan at the level of implementation for 2013 for those recommendations that do not require additional resources.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The removal of policy indicators from the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. And the point there is that it's very hard for the committee to track progress, particularly in areas in which it's very keen, like the progress in terms of the criminal justice review revamp. And I make the point that at present the only related indicators are quantitative and not qualitative, as they address the number of JCPS cluster reports finalized and the number of IJH reports completed yearly. Deals with human resources, and this is your vacancy rates at SMS level, 8.6.1. I think we've made this point many times before. Then also, what is a new thing is that the overall vacancy rate has been allowed to increase to 11% from 10%, which is a bit alarming. And we say that although the committee is sort of sympathetic to the department's predicament, one could say the bunching, the budget, the committee feels that this is a step in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. 8.6.2 deals with misconduct cases, and it draws a link with the PSC's report, as well as others to the South Carolina Court. And our concern that targets have been reduced. Deals with the security budget, and we note this is really it's taken from the BRRR report, this information from that. But note that the department requires an extra $3.1 billion over the medium term to probably adequately secure its course. Similarly for rates and meaningful taxes and leased accommodation. Note that we made recommendations in our 2012 BRRR report. A.7 deals with ICT and the integrated justice system. I just simply note that there is an ICT renewal program happening. And perhaps we could add at the end of 8.7.1 where we say, including providing the judiciary with new laptops, we can say that the committee welcomes this. deals with the IJS funding and the problems about that. We were saying that we've asked Auditor General to look into the IJS. That the government has struggled to live on its cutting budget, because of the DPW's inability to live on its cutting budget.
Just the thing that the committee is interested in the strategic plan, so that the strategic plan I include the infrastructure plan, although some of the data it contains does not make sense. I think we should elaborate on that. I can't remember what it is the case. And then I'm not sure where the Zuma Magistrates Court and the Four Court, there's sort of a jump between that sentence that some of the data doesn't make sense, explaining what doesn't make sense, and then there needs to be some kind of introduction to the comment on specific buildings, the board's reporting or something.
And 8.8.2 is again our point around the need to balance the infrastructure budget with maintenance. The new point is that the department told the committee that DPW does have a planned maintenance program for core buildings, but that it is unable to establish with any certainty details of the program. The committee finds it also unacceptable and prayer for the DPW to continue to be responsible for maintaining the building. Um, 8.9.2 two deals with the present and capacities in the office of Chief Justice. And it reflects that the National Treasury has proposed about the program budget that encompasses all of the direct costs of surgeries and the budget studies of the direct charge of the National Revenue Funds. And this will eventually, there will be a separate vote for this. The Secretary General will become a county officer and not the DG Justice as is the case at present. In April 1993, we welcome the appointment of a Secretary General to the office. And then we deal with some of the information that the OCJ gave us around their vacancies and funding. April 1994 deals with the slow progress in improving core performance despite many well-funded initiatives, and that's about reduction of the case backlog project. We reflect that the department's role is largely limited to providing resources and personnel, and then we look at the role of the Chief Justice in beginning to address judicial case flow management. A.9.5 deals with challenges regarding the document management system. It reflects that that has been rolled out, deployed in seven courts, and that the Western Cape is a best practice model. And then I say the committee welcomes the invitation for it to visit the project and will contact the department soon in order to make the necessary arrangements for the next quarter. A.10 deals with the TRC process, and this reflects that there has been a shift in focus to finalising and implementing the regulations. Again, we're asked to be briefed quarterly on progress made. State Legal Services talks about the review of the State Legal Services, the discussion document. It looks forward, the committee looks forward to engaging further with the department on the review and intends to ask the department to brief specifically on it in the near future. And then we note that the department's intention is to introduce an amendment to the State Attorney's Act to provide for a chief, and I've put that in inverted commas, State Attorney, the Solicitor General. We remind the department that there's only narrow administrative window for us to do so. Vulnerable groups. First, 8.12.1 deals with spending on vulnerable groups. The first point is a suggestion made by the acting CFO that with the restructuring and the movement of certain sub-programs and health services to the OCJ, there will be greater opportunities to provide a program for vulnerable groups, and this will then will make spending on vulnerable groups far more transparent. 8.12.2, that's a point about the national register for sexual offenders, and the discussions underway to combine it with the Register containing the Children's Act. 8.12.3 deals with maintenance matters and the need to improve the delivery of these of maintenance services. Again, the new service delivery chart and service standards should contribute to a more compatible and responsive approach on the part of the staff officials. We were meant to be briefed on this, but we haven't been yet. So we've asked for a briefing document and a progress report on its implementation. 8.12.4 deals with our concerns regarding the Child Justice Act. We intend holding a meeting with stakeholders on the implementation of the Act in the next quarter. In 8.12.5, to deal with we query the accessibility of master's offices for guardian fund matters. We note that the department reported that 29 places have been designated where documents can now be verified and that payments and beneficiaries can also be paid by means of EFT. However, we still offer view that rollout of the expansion of the guardian fund services is urgent. And then 8.12.6 and 8.12.8 should be linked. The first is the legislative amendment to deal with designation of sexual offence courts. Then 8.12.8 deals with criteria or suggestion that circuit courts be considered in order to make the courts more accessible. And then we ask for further details in writing, listing the 42 dedicated sexual offences courts, as well as the criteria for these courts. In 8.12.7, we deal with the whole issue around magistrates becoming burnt out. There was a concern around whether magistrates actually are able to access employee wellness programs, and we asked the department to look into this. And then also to look into other measures. To deal with the risk of trauma associated with dealing with sexual offence matters.
8.12.9. Sorry, 8.12.9. I'm sorry to take a call. Is it possible to deal with PRP?
Yes.
And help that
look,
I think it's incomplete. We are happy, relatively pleased with about the most advanced issues that we've paid. However, we are not happy that the outstanding regulations have not been finalized. And that needs to come up. Now, I think the report was that as far as education was close to finality, it's basically education, housing, and health. I can't remember the detail. But we need, one of them, I think it's education, has got close to finalization. It's been close to finalization for a few years, for a few years. And then I think the others are not. We need to say that.
I think the minister said that he's now taking that forward, so I'll say to
the bottom line is we want implementation. And I think, as I said, one is almost implemented, and I think that's education. But the others are still some distance. It's not the minister's fault in terms of the delays with other departments, but we need to reflect this is not acceptable. So we may want to cross-reference it to the public protective support staff here. Yeah, she did an investigation into this, which she didn't bother to tell anybody about, but yeah.
Nothing else between the two of the and we were at an OGG.
You've got the meeting under 8.12.4 of the meeting on the Child Justice Act.
Yeah.
Presumably you will, there's a similar thing on the sex offences.
At 8.12.9 we deal with the provision of psychosocial support to victims of sexual offences and the funding of NGOs. We ask that the department look into ways in which it can assist NGOs which provide psychosocial services, sex sessions, sleep funding. And then 8.12.10 believes that there should be a focus on identifying and removing backlog sexual offences cases from court rolls. Chief Justice as part of efforts to improve case flow management.
So just going back to the still on paper offences, you do mention on 812 Circuit Court.
But the issue I'd also raised was that they look at the possibility of extending the jurisdiction of equipped sexual offences. So you have, to my mind, two options. You say, well, now remember the sexual offences court is a regional court. This regional court doesn't have the infrastructure, but the regional court in the town next door does. So maybe you can say that that town can be looked at, that town can actually hear sexual offences from a wider jurisdiction because they've got the infrastructure. Obviously with the circuit court you're not going to have the infrastructure of the witness stuff. With the circuit court you will have more the skilled magistrate and the skilled prosecutor, but you won't have the infrastructure. So one is circuit, the other is to widen the jurisdiction of a particular sexual offences court to cover a wider area than that particular regional magistracy. So just find some way of putting that in, because that's what I had asked for.
I'm a little concerned that most of my comments are around basically how the budget shortfall is going to impact on the operations. In 9.6.1, we appreciate the kind of manner with which the NPM shares its challenges and reflect that we are appalled at the possible consequences for affecting the criminal justice system as a whole. In 9.6.2, we note that in past years we've expressed concern around understanding, but this year the NPA has indicated that it has serious funding challenges which may cause overspending. And then they said the NPA paints a bleak picture. It projects that it will overspend on its compensation employees budget. Already there's a shortfall of $25 million to pay salaries. Nor is there any money available to pay performance awards being made through forced savings to the NPA's goods and services budget. And I'm not sure when I should repeat that budget is already 20% only up 20% of the total budget, which is quite low. In 9.6.3, I just set out the problems around the implementation of the OSD and then also the job evaluation. And then towards the end, we reflect that the department did not support a request for additional funding for the AENE project. And a request for additional funding for the NTF was not approved. I assume it was by National Treasury. We say the committee is sympathetic to the NTF's request for additional funds of $200 million. It notes that the NTF has taken steps to cut costs and is actively pursuing alternative funding. However, it is unclear to the committee why the NPA's predicament is receiving such a tepid response from the Department and National Treasury when the consequences seem potentially so disastrous. The 9.64 is the whole issue of the NPA's.
That amount that is spent on the job evaluations for prosecutors, the $53 million, it's up to when? The one that has already been paid out.
I'm not sure if it's paid out. That's the stuff where the department came to the rescue by offering some of its perfect
What happened, Mr. Lani Majakia, was there was a time when the NPA requested an urgent meeting with the committee around this matter. And we agreed and we slotted them in on our program at short notice. And then at the almost at the last minute, they came back telephonically to say, we're terribly sorry. The matter's been resolved. The department and the ministry have come to our assistance, and that was that. And then later on, this amount was mentioned. That's how that evolved. Once off, or was it? We didn't really go into the detail about that, but we'd have to find out. It's an important question. Because we were just relieved that the problem had been solved, as it were.
Because it's very difficult if you want to find finance to solve it.
Yeah.
And that's why from now, when it comes to egg or bacon, it's not true.
Yeah. And that point is made elsewhere in the struggle.
I have just won 4 deals on which you're banking fees. If you have anything else, you can have no banking fees. And then, yeah, that's what the additional financial pressures in here is going to be that every process for banking in a big kind of unfunded position which you can't solve. The impact that this has on overweight property tools and the inability to replace experienced companies that need the expertise cannot be replaced. Because the committee also knows that the NPA was quite clear that it does not have the resources to assign 2 prosecutors for each of the dedicated central offences of course, and needs already established, as fast as the international priority. 9.6.5 deals with the changes to the strategic plan, the indicators. The company was very pleased that the targets are below, so it's below present performance level. So it accepts the NPA's explanation that with the budget cuts, the company will take experience from the future for the need. And this does impact its performance. Also, AGO traditionally set, pretty positive. But also general tends to regard the fairly confusing targets as an indication of the plan.
How does the AFU set a target? It really depends on the investigations and completed cases. Asset forfeiture unit.
Yeah. No, but the president said the target for poor Willie. He's the one who said you must catch 100 people, or, I mean, don't always catch people under the
FBI.
You must,
it's not going
to
happen.
To the tune of 5 billion, yeah. But so that's what the president started thinking. And then what did he adjusted that now?
No, the point I was going to make was a general one.
Yeah.
That, look, as far as I know, the target the president uses was supplied by the line function department anyway, that would have come. But the issue basically was, and it happened throughout the justice vote, I think it even happened with the public sector as well, that we complained that your targets are too low. And they then said whether it's the department.
department or NPA or AMU that no, we would have liked to set higher targets, but the Auditor General then mails us. And I think that should find its way into a separate piece that as far as the improvements to functioning of the criminal justice system, what the Auditor General wants for auditing purposes, and what the public wants, are different, and we need to find some way to deal with it. The public wants the functionaries in the criminal justice system to set high targets, knowing that they may well not make them, but at least they're aiming high. And whereas the Auditor General says, no, don't aim there, aim there, and
then you
succeed, you know, and then you, well done, you've complied. And it's that's the tension, basically. Because the Auditor General is now doing, what is it called, this strategic auditing of not just money, but where the people are meeting their objectives. And performance targeting, performance auditing. And that's where the difficulty is coming in. And I think it is undermining the criminal justice system for that process to be being followed.
I've heard other committees complain the fact that these targets are set way too low.
Mm. But they're also criminal justice, aren't they?
Yes. So much so that, you know, achieving that target is like... Well, no, you're going to exceed it all the time because it's set so low. And it's then difficult to ascertain whether you are actually performing. I'm sorry, Inanima Jack.
I think in this case, the problem could be what informs those targets. If you say you're going to have 100 of for features,
yes.
What informs that 100?
Well, that was
that
my
is,
question.
That's what is the problem, and I think if they can correct that for the future, to actually say that it should be a percentage in terms of the reported cases. Then it makes sense. If you say 100% of the cases that have been reported, then you just look at how many cases were reported. If you say 100, then you get 5 cases per annum. It then becomes a problem. Obviously, the targets will be low.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the audit process, then it becomes a failure. So the 100 needs to be clearly informed by something. And maybe for the future, we should actually advise them to put it in a form of percentage based on the number of cases reported.
But the point I'm making is, can it be a separate, standalone section of time?
Okay.
Okay, can I take you back?
Okay.
Can you finish the NPA?
Yeah. Let Christine finish this NPA and then we'll go back.
Can I just raise on the point of, and in the point, if I can, if you allow me to stick in, 9.6.7 minutes indicated to the committee that for now the NPA is better placed to continue running. Maybe just to elaborate more on that, why. As I understand it, with the budgetary issues, in the time of less money to set up somebody else having the infrastructure to administer the witness protection was not going to be viable.
Yeah, it's not actually acceptable. And then Willie told me
No, I was just saying, look, the law is one thing. The law is that it must go out of justice, and that's, I think, out of NPA, and that's, I think, the international standard. And I think the issue is that if it's with NPA, they could sort of intimidate witnesses and things. But then, you know, what Ms. Sputz is raising is that there may be more of a debate around it, but it would require law changes and challenges to international procedures that we'd maybe have to look at how strong they are there. So what I'm just saying is I don't think we should be expressing, I'd rather we didn't express any value judgment on whether it's correct to move or not move. We report on the facts that were given to us.
Can I go to 895?
It's basically, this is on the records, and it's the issue of it came subsequent to the department's presentation, and that was the Western Cape High Court decision. And Chair, we asked you, but it won't be possible by the time this report is completed, but I think we need to reflect our concern about it in the light of that court decision. And we're waiting a report by a particular date from the department as to what they're doing.
And the report, by the way, on the amendment, is asking for information countrywide, not just the way in Cape. So, you know, for Ishan, they wanted to take issue with the table, why in charge of me, now that the judge has passed judgment. We've asked for information countrywide. Because it does seem that there is a problem.
Yes. I said the report is with the DC as we speak. She was trying to finalize. I'm not sure that the committee will have time to look at it before the act of the decision.
I didn't think, I wasn't even sure we'd get it before the. And I didn't think we should we were in a position to make that apparent. I wasn't sure how much work it entailed. In my mind, she was going to delegate it to somebody, and then when we got it, fine, we got it.
I think we're adopting this on Tuesday on Tweeter's report.
Yeah.
Let's see what comes. You know, maybe she will, okay, the men from the ministry are saying, today, but maybe she will look at it and find there are problems and not be able to. But if it comes, let's have a look at it.
Okay.
We can then communicate by email on whether we amend that section. And I think it could be used in the debate, maybe.
Sure.
It is a philosophical issue.
Go back to 10.
11.8. We're just really impressed by the work. The congratulated last on its role. The role of creating the present draft in the United Nations with principles and guidelines providing legal aid assistance. The exact title. say that we would like to have greater insight on Slava's work by undertaking oversight on the ground, but says that this may not be possible all the time remaining to explore the end of the then we support the goal of expanding for work and then reflect that we have set up that we suggest the South African Human Rights Commission approach LASA to look into providing legal assistance in high impact citizen civil litigation cases. And it is pleased that the Commission has done so and that there's agreement to draft a memorandum or MOU in this regard. 11.83 discusses amendments to the legal aid guide and asks as soon as possible. We reflect that although the committee could learn that the legal aid IT systems are linked to the SAP electronic CAP system, it knows that certain requirements would improve its effectiveness. And then currently the system informs legal aid that a particular person will appear in court but does not indicate in which court the occurrence is to take place.
The 11.8.3 is necessary to state that before the general election, we will not be paying before the end of the term.
Yeah.
But it looks like now we're doing it for the
yeah.
This 11.8.5. I think the issue of the fact that they haven't received the budget cut should be under 11, the earlier part, because that's what they reported to us. And then our response is, rather than just noting, we're very keen, to encourage Treasury. Because because to inspect its cuts would have adversely affected their ability to cover costs and ensure accurate justice.
Yeah. The SIU. It commends the FIU for its work in tackling fraud and actual actions of government. However, the committee is wholly dissatisfied with the quality of the FIU's reputation, which in the committee's view does not provide sufficient information to evaluate the FIU's work. 12.92, the quality of the FIU's timing needs much to be desired. There's no explanation provided for changes to indicate that the performance of the targets contained in the FIU's performance plan for 2013-15. And 12.93 deals with the low targets. The FIU informed the committee that it has moved towards an approach that in which it investigates fewer but more complex cases. The committee believes that if the approach is one that focuses on impact, the targets for cash recovery should be considered to be higher in value. Are observations around the funding model and the risk of relying too much on funding to service general agreements. The committee agrees that in the long term there doesn't be further debate on the current funding model for an anti-corruption agency such as SIU. 12.9.5 deals with the committee's unhappiness regarding the SIU's sophistication of its operations. Number six,
they help unravel certain fields of the systematic and mental thoughts. These are impaired skills, aided finding a cotton curve. They can see pre-assessment, are a regular expenditure, as well as their benefits of supporting. That's the SIU company supports the mental teachers who have initiated an investigation before and of course got the assessment. The committee feels that it's a pity that these were not dealt with our healing committee considered that it's best to include the planning challenges and the community's experience. We may need to involve the respect that we have a amendment soon. And again, delegates will be welcome to phone up ahead to if they do ask all the time, and then again, expression of our company that is undesirable, this is simply a liquid and may not answer for any
minute. Well, look, obviously, the last paragraph is something wrong with the numbering. You go from 1297 to 1211. But, I mean, there hasn't been a head appointed.
No.
Yeah, it's been announced. Advocate came for, but it's not.
But it's not formally in the
manner. It's been speculated in the media.
You are from a certain source.
Yes.
Oh, that also.
Yes.
So that just needs to be, I mean, we've got to say something about the vacancy issue as with the NDA. Then just going back to 1296, we wanted details of its reporting process, is fine, including progress interim reports. The way that's worded makes it look like we want the interim progress report, whereas I think what we wanted to know is how do they issue interim or progress reports, not that we wanted them. And then, are you sure the legislation was going to tackle the issue of the minister or the DG getting the report? Because, you know, the process of the SIU is presidential proclamation, so they obviously have to report to the president. So just check on that. I mean, that's a factual thing. But I'm just concerned that might create the wrong impression.
Is it not, and maybe I'm wrong, is it not that, yes, it must go along the simultaneous whenever the minister or DG who requested the application, should he or she not also receive it?
Well, let's hear what they said. I know that at one point off the record, you know, there was unhappiness about the person pointing and reading in the paper that other people were getting reports that he wasn't. In terms of, you know, but it seems that the interim reports were going out. Look, my problem is the thing that it seems. They give a little bit of it. Seems very vague. So if they did, fine, we can, and I think we might have raised it in our BRR report, that's fine. But it just can't be as it is now. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's not part of the budget. But just check on exactly, and maybe indicate that, because it doesn't actually then come from this book. Which is fine.
but we just need to accept that it's not in the
Okay, now I'll just go
Then I think maybe just helping 39.2, I think we need to look at the rephrasing. Because the issue on Marikana was the concern was specifically around them, the possible overlap of with the work of the Marikana Commission, the Farlam Commission, and the fact that they were sharing counsel with other interested parties. And we felt that if the LRC is involved, they need to have their own representation. They can't share with any other interested parties who might have different interests. And we're pleased that they clarified that they would not be duplicating the Marikana work. The Tatane matter was I think, a separate point. And it's interesting, but I think something I'd want to make in the debate that when questionings were made of what the public protector's investigating, the shock and horror, when questions were made around the same thing with the LR, the Human Rights Commission, nobody questions our right to ask that question, and they respond. But I think on the Tatane matter, it's a general point around appropriateness of investigating matters. Given the limited resources, they need to be careful about what they investigate, or they need to be selective about what they investigate. And there were questions raised around the appropriateness of an investigation, a desktop investigation, into whether there was any usefulness of a desktop investigation into the Tatane death, and they did provide justification. Remember, they said that they thought it had spurred the prosecuting authorities and the police on to press charges and things like that. So they had, I don't necessarily agree with them, but they had their own version around why they thought it was important. But I think it is important that we also raise, is a desktop inquiry into something like that of much value.
Are we going to approach it?
Hello?
Hello? Sandy?
How much of what has just been said is it intended that you should capture? Because there were other points. I remember Steve Scott arguing that it was that civil claims could follow, and whether it didn't worry them that they had now made a finding, so forth.
No, it wasn't that point.
Yeah. And some others, I think, sorry, in particular.
There was general concern within the committee.
I don't know if my point has been covered by PJ's remarks also, but the use of the word the committee queried the commission's decision to revise terms, and then the next sentence says that the commission has expressed satisfaction regarding it. I thought it was the committee. But didn't we appreciate, as the committee, the decision by the commission to revise the stance?
Yeah.
Maybe we should say something along those lines instead of query to say.
The issue of the findings, isn't it the same as the fifth line from the bottom on that paragraph 13.9.2? While respecting the independence of the Commission, the Committee of course is against making findings when there are judicial processes involved. Isn't it the same as what Mr. Swartz said? And then also the issue of the overlap, I see it is continuing on the next page, the same paragraph. So what Mr. Jeffries has said about the whole issue of possible overlap, it is in fact mentioned.
Look, it may be, but it's more the wording, and I think it should be divided into two paragraphs. So that the Marikana representation was one thing, and that was I suppose it's part of the general theme, but that was different from the Kane matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. So you're next.
The general
principle
does apply. Because they made a finding of timeliness in the court. Well, you know what the court found in the court. So that becomes very relevant.
The second sentence is still in the same paragraph. The commission has expressed satisfaction. Who's the satisfaction? Are we concerned with here? Is it not the satisfaction of the committee upon an explanation being given by the commission that now its involvement is much more relevant to its main task, rather than that it seemed to be duplicating the work of the Spalam Commission? So the point I'm trying to say, to make sense, that the commission, having been questioned by the committee of the relevance of its intervention, then explained that it had revised its terms of reference, and then having done that, the committee then was satisfied.
In 13.9.4, that's the whole thing around the closure of the provincial offices because of funding constraints. Now, when we had that discussion, the commission wasn't altogether clear whether, in fact, it was, you know, whether DPW was paying the leases, the lease money, and then they were refunding it, or what the exact story was. So we've asked the commission to clarify that. And then I know that we remain supportive in principle of the commission acquiring its own office building in the future.
So is that actually accurate to Lhasa own buildings?
Well, that's what I said, but then I can take it off.
I mean, maybe just check with them, because I they might have their own leases, but I don't know if they own any buildings.
It's not necessary, so I'm going to take it off. No, I think 13.95 should probably come earlier. This is still the difference between the ideal budget and the allocated budget. This is the point around the lack of response from National Treasury, and that we said that the committee's powers so strong as the commission's request should be taken further and hence approaching the parliamentary budget office in this regard.
When do you intend to approach the parliamentary budget office? Because last sentence there says we intend to approach the parliamentary budget office.
His appointment, the committee, the House has selected his appointment is being recommended to both houses. Permanent appointment. The issue basically was when I was still smoking, he smoked. I I discussed it with him in the quad, and he indicated that, he could have tried to find money, so we need to do it. We need to
write to him formally.
Yes. And maybe to say to him that he is approaching rather than will approach, because there's no reason, we don't need to wait for half of the approval to approach, him as part of Parliament.
I just think maybe we should look at making the, we asked for more money for them. The response from Treasury to them was make use of your existing resources. So I think that 1395, that you know, the committee has expressed frustration that the National Treasury has not responded yet to the recommendations. I think we need to look at rewording it to basically, that's one thing, yes, that has happened, but Treasury has responded to the Human Rights Commission directly, saying make use of your resources, that we don't feel that this is at all adequate, and it is imperative that the Human Rights Commission be assisted. I think we just need to be careful about being too peremptory with the wording, because then we might find that the House doesn't want to adopt it because it binds them, so it should be strongly recommends type of thing rather than force. But I think we need that a little bit more emphatic. That basically we're unhappy that we recommended last year that they get more money, and they effectively didn't really get much more money. They did get a little bit. But we don't think that that was adequate, and it is urgent that this matter be addressed.
Yes, I'd rather
we use words like unhappy rather than to be saying we're frustrated. If when you're frustrated, it means there's nothing you can do. Yeah, it's hopeless. And the question of formulating the wording, the committee has addressed its unhappiness. Where did you address it to? Maybe you want to say expressed our unhappiness instead of addressing, because when you say you addressed it, it means you send it somewhere.
I don't know if I did watch last night the Justice Malala interview. And Chair, I don't know if other members have seen it. It was bizarre. She was saying things like, no, she's not actually accountable to us for her, for the functioning. She's accountable to the Speaker. I mean, where she gets that from, I don't know. She claims that section that we says we can look at any reports is with reference to the insulting contempt of the public protector. She claims that she was ambushed in the meeting with because it was a matter from the current financial year, because she just released the report. And I just think she's there's major problems in, and I think one of our things should be that, I mean, she's then wanting a meeting, as she said in the newspaper, with the Speaker, the Deputy Speaker, and yourself. And I think that, well, that's because she said that she is accountable for her functioning to the Speaker, not to us.
Administratively. That's the word she used. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what she
said. And, I think one of the things, I think we should be expressing concern about the whole interaction. I mean, to my mind, the issues with the public protector is that it is an important institution, a very important institution. It is very positive that the public have so much faith in her, but that she is accountable to the National Assembly through the Justice Committee. That is the process that we follow. And we are concerned as the committee relating to expenditure. Is she making best use of her resources? And that includes, is she investigating matters that she shouldn't investigate? Oh, by the way, with the ambushing. She said, no, she was ambushed on the question around There Are No Heroes report. And we'd never raised these issues before, which is not true, because we raised the justice matters in the BRR process. Remember. So I think the things from the committee are, should she be investigating? Well, there are certain matters we feel she should not be investigating, like appeals. And then, given the limited resources, there are certain matters that we feel she should be more circumspect about investigating, like labour matters. But I think that also there needs to be a point from that Times article and the Malala interview, it would appear as though the public protector does not fully understand accountability to the National Assembly, and we need to engage with her. We need to invite her to meet with the committee on that. And so I would have wanted those aspects to be made,
as part of this.
Finding that we do not meet the need for 800,000. 600,000. $600,000 on a corporate branding video isn't inappropriate.
I don't know too much about this, but in terms of how much do these things cost?
Very little.
Very little. That's my question.
we would want more reports from the public protector on her findings relating to matters relating to the department or the bodies under the justice vote, so we can actually take those up with the department. There was an investigation into Lhasa, that was the one in Mafeking, which unfortunately I only found after Lhasa had been, otherwise it would have been useful to discuss this with Lhasa. What are you doing about these issues that are raised? So it, you know, the problem I've got with the public protector is what she does seems to happen out there as far as the justice matters are concerned. And she should be ensuring that we are familiar with the reports or we're aware of the reports. The other thing, by the way, she said on the link to the ambushing on the Justice Malala thing was, no, there's another section of her act which says that we can, Parliament can discuss the report. And so it was an ambush because we asked her about the report in the meeting, and what we should have done was ask the Speaker to come and brief, get her to come and brief us on the report, or something like that. I mean, it was really weird stuff.
Should we not, speaking of this as a concern, and a general concern around the OISC, we concede their independence. There's no question about it. Public protector, in terms of the Act, Christine helped me here, is not required to table her report for the commission. Just check that, because, well, I haven't received any support. JJ had to go to the website to access the one on Mamadoubi Moussala.
Yeah.
You see, so then the question we need to engage with amongst ourselves as individuals is, have we perhaps not made a mistake? It's a lot of support, you know, but she's engaged in a hell of a lot of people. And just think about that, whether we shouldn't insist that her finding, well, reporting to her investigation to be tabled. If only for us to be made aware of it. Presently they're not.
Is she not supposed to report to the executive committee of panel,
which is us?
I think
that's
part of the Portfolio Committee Oversight Way. Yeah, her reports are departmental or state specific. Surely what we're asking for is what we're saying is that where she compiles investigations into entities that fall under the justice budget vote,
yeah,
we would want her to inform us of that.
Okay, so you're restricting it?
Yes.
Okay.
And similarly, that she should inform other
portfolio
committees of reports. And maybe it should be a broader recommendation of that she keeps the OSID, whatever it's called, informed, so that they can decide. Because maybe it shouldn't be up to her to say, okay, I've just done a investigation into this particular entity, now who do I send it to, who do I inform in Parliament? But they should be able to then be informed by her and be able to forward it to the relevant, the information to the relevant. I think it has to be properly tabled, because we should then, you see, let's take the last report on Mafeking. You shouldn't need to table it, but it would have been useful if the committee had known before Lhasa came here that there is this investigation. We were able then to get download the report, read it, and then ask Lhasa questions about it. But instead, it, you know, nobody told us.
But then the point I'm reaching is, do we need to amend the Act?
I think it's not.
Why?
Just because if all the things, like you can remember, they all because their departments are being dealt with. It would be useful. But I don't think it wants a statutory requirement. I think it's more a practical. Yeah. Although, yeah, I mean, you could argue that it's a good idea. But then should we? But then does it apply to?
Tables everything to scope. Okay?
Yeah.
So he in fact has scope with the Auditor General's committee.
Mm.
But then it will scope and then that is high school committee.
Yes.
Yeah. And should she table in all provincial legislatures and municipality?
If it is a provincial matter, she should send it there.
And municipalities, yes, she should.
So
we need to.
Chairperson, at the end of the day, we want the report. We're not planning to change the legislation. I know on the website, if you subscribe, you get an alert whenever there's a report, a new report table. The easier option would have been that our administrative staff subscribe to it, and whenever a report is available, they forward it to staff. At least then we get it immediately. And you don't have to daily check that website because you do get an alert. Instead of, and then we use it, we don't use it, if we...
Yes, but I think the
request we're making to the public protector is in order to ensure to try and address the causes of maladministration in a particular sector, to please ensure that the reports are, or the relevant legislatures, whether it be parliament, whether it be a provincial legislature, whether it be a local government legislature, are informed. Because I you might have some obscure municipality having a report that she's produced, and they don't. Must every municipality ask for the alerts? She should be more proactive on that. And it is not to give a copy of the report to them, but to inform them. The other aspect is that the number of produced reports are actually very few. That is a small component of her work. The bulk of what she's doing, we don't actually know what's happening. And the problem there is that we don't know where the systemic problems are. So let's take, it's not our department, but let's take Home Affairs, which everybody knows there are often big problems. She is presumably dealing with a whole lot of Home Affairs complaints about ID books or, whatever. And she's presumably resolving them with Home Affairs. But nobody is getting a report to say, look, this is what we're doing. This office, by the way, in Barclay East looks particularly bad. Most of their complaints seem to come from that office. The minister needs to give proper attention to the officials there. They seem to be quite unfriendly. I'm just using a hypothetical case. That's just not happening. Because I think she's only producing about 10, 20 reports a year.
Well, we've got two options.
We can do both. I mean, I've got no problem with the alerting thing, but I'm talking about... What one wants to move towards is that the public protector is independent, she mustn't be interfered with. But however, in terms of trying to address the systemic problems of maladministration, it would be useful if there's more of a reporting back or information flow, probably information flow is the better word, to the responsible bodies as to what those problems are, so systemic steps can be taken to address problems.
All right. How then do we, the option raised by the staff, that is easy.
Yes.
Larry Romano and Christine Silkstone can be the two persons on behalf of the committee that then got to her with a general report, and he's out for regularly, and there's no problem. Doesn't matter whether it's Kukana or the president, there's a report. And so I'm asking, why can't we go down that route? You can.
Yes.
And then how do we do that?
Look, it goes back to a statutory thing. I think by law the Auditor General
has to table all his reports relating to, look, he audits different spheres. And I think he has to table all his reports relating to the national sphere in the National Assembly for referral to SCOPA. Presumably the provincial reports are not tabled in SCOPA. They would go to the provincial legislature. The municipal reports, I don't know if they go straight to that municipal council. But I think it would be a consideration of a statutory amendment. And Dina, you know, it's actually, because there aren't that many reports, it would be a statutory requirement that all reports should be tabled with the speaker. That's something to think about. I don't know if we want to actually put it, but I think that's something we can think about. I don't think it's such a big request.
Yeah. No, it's fine. But I just want to.
We should ask her about it. I think. I do remember when we did the public protector Christine during the Chapter 9 review. I remember that Advocate Mishwana's reply to the question whether government departments adhered to their recommendations, corrective reprimands, etc. His response was, yes, they did, in 90%+ of the cases. But, and look, I mean, I'm trying to visualize now the public protector's little bookies that she brings at the end of the year. There seem to be a great many cases, not reports, but cases, where she, and don't forget, remedial work, is just like the SAHRC, they're really there to do remedial stuff, mediate and remedy. And, So really the question is, how many of those are there? What is the upshot of the... Don't we, by the same token, also want to know what happened where she is called in to address a case of maladministration, impropriety or rudeness, which is what she's about. What about all those... interventions, do they get reduced to writing even if it's a single seat? I mean, one some sort of a, it should be systematic reporting then and not just...
Well, it seems to me that she would derive enormous help if she could collide with the terms from the EPOC. Because they've been doing it for years, and they're expert at that. And I think my thinking is in line with
never forget one thing about the Auditor General.
Outside people do his work. I'm not sure to what degree Advocate Modern said I get outside legal people to do work. And the other thing about the Auditor General is works on a cost recovery basis. You pay for the pleasure of having yourself audited. So they aren't, you know, so it doesn't cost the taxpayer any money. The auditee pays.
So
I just wanted to say that the idea of subscribing to the alert is very practical, but one of the things that I feel is missing is the emphasis on the role that the public protector and all the chapter 9s have on their role of actually assisting or aiding, complementing the work of portfolio committees. And so if those reports are not actually somehow, if they don't find their way to Parliament in some kind of formal, even slightly informal managed process, that information is lost to us. And then just in terms of reporting to a single committee, the scope of thing is that when I was doing my reading around the public protector stuff, the quarter report suggested that we introduce accountability legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in the context of actually having a dedicated committee for this chapter now, which we then we didn't go for.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to start, maybe the recommendation could be that we start looking at the ASMA report and the court.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of the reason on that thing.
I think in terms of the reporting, also what we need to look at is that for annual reporting, what format would you want to suggest for the annual report? Because somewhere we actually are questioning ourselves as to whether we have sense enough of what are systemic problems. And for now, she's forever having a backlog, and I'm sure also if we decide on some kind of format, it will actually also give us a clue as to the time frames she has to conclude cases. So that's number one, to actually maybe start thinking of a format we will want to suggest for the annual report. And normally what should happen with the new institution like this is that they will have recommendations in terms of what they think the committee should actually do. I'm not sure whether we managed to really carry out those recommendations, because usually that's what we need to follow through on. I do think that the suggestion of alerts is good, but the problem might be, you know, when you're used to getting alerts, even when there's a matter that will require that attention, it will just be an alert. So it, you know, you can just develop this habit of knowing that now there is a matter from the public protector. We need to look at how to advise the office to actually send us reports that would require our intervention or our scrutiny and attention. Because if you just keep on getting reports, yes. So the idea that Honorable Jeffries is putting forward that maybe they should go to various departments is okay. But and the ones that have got to do with us will come to us. But where there is a matter that requires clear and direct attention from us, then we should be alert. I don't know how we're going to actually craft this.
Chairperson, I'm just thinking, what is the role of the OISD office in this whole thing, or the whole issue? I mean, can't we use them as a link to, or conduit, or whatever?
Yes, they could be checking the website every day or whatever, but I think, to my mind, what we should be thinking about is as we make statutory requirements,
that the public protector must table all reports to the speaker. Obviously then the National Assembly would be the OISD's responsibility to farm out those things, but that's what we should be looking at. I would want to suggest that we write something like that in. So I'm going a bit further than what I was suggesting earlier. Not to bind the House, but to say that the House needs to carefully consider amending the Public Protector Act to require all reports to be tabled.
But I think it's I'm not sure which were the sections that Christine was doing at 3:30 this morning. I don't know if it was this section, but I think we can make some suggestions and then send them through to her and then get them circulated on. She'll do the chart or whatever.
Just two more things. 16.2, and then 16.3, I'll add a recommendation on the Bank of Treasury. And the BRRR. And then 17, I have expanded a bit on the appreciation. And 17.3, you notice this is the first time safety public.
No, sorry, before you proceed to
sorry.
It's 16.1,
Okay.
the committee is extremely concerned at efficiency gains.
That's Robin Gordon's word.
Concerned at efficiency gains.
Yeah. That means cut.
Yeah, they call it efficiency gain,
but it's cut. You're right, should we put in a copy?
How can you be content at games?
That's
no idea.
It's from last year, it's other words for it was never.
Yeah. When they deducted the $600 million from the department budget, I mean, that's how they described it. An efficiency gain. Yeah.
And then 70.3, I just noticed the first time in safety public. Protector has attended the meeting of the committee. We congratulate him on his appointment and wishes him well.
Okay.
And wish him well. And somebody was, we thank the Secretary General. And we know that she's the first time that she or official for the office has occurred before the committee, and again we have a congratulations on her appointment in the show.
Any further comments?
I'm very concerned
if
you're fully satisfied, but I'm getting now version 2.
Yeah. And is there still stuff you pick up between now and then? I don't see anything wrong with the
Yeah. Look, I want to make some comments on the public protector section and the human rights commission section, and then we'll send them to Christine, and then maybe send them to that after the video. Okay, I don't know if you've seen the meeting. I mean, there was an email from Dr. Ambrosini, her team at Smut, and we felt on mailing it. Well, it's entitled Bid to Cure My Cancer.
Oh.
Yes, he has stage 4 lung cancer, terminal, that he's looking at different options to treat it, and he expects to be back in 3 months. I count on achieving a cure in 3 months, and will then return to my parliamentary work. But it's quite, I think we should go to all. So here we're going to adopt this on Tuesday, so presumably by Monday at the latest.
No,
sort of final draft
on Friday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next draft and then comments and then maybe final draft on Monday.
Yeah. So why
didn't
I thought that
we
were supposed to finish this 7 days before the
debate.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think anybody else would be doing it. I mean, it would need to be in the ATC on Tuesday evening, and I've seen other committee reports the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, we can't talk now.
No, I just thought that's the reason why we're doing it, because the debate is next week Wednesday, even though it's not 7 days.
It is because the debate is next Wednesday, but I wasn't aware that it was 7 days.
Oh, what do you know, the blue drop? What does it mean?
All right. Thank you very much. Honourable members, please read this. Thank you much. Thank you. No, the judge is taking issue with the state attorney and the manner in which they are conducting themselves.
That they have something about the should be signed today. It's signed by Dr. Menopoulos. There is a formal copy of the thing. I'll give you another copy because I think that. And it's basically the requirement to leave the department to be appointed in the consultation of the meeting.
I haven't seen them. Can you please tell me? But I'm going to
More men from the ministry.
Men from the ministry.
We fight for clocks. But it's now it's the serious days, obviously.
Yeah.
So I bring him with that he's been it's quite so long with these road runs on the thing. So later that he wanted now for today and yeah, look at all the copies they had to
he was called by the minister.
Oh. I'm not gonna give it back then to him.
Yeah, no, he has that yet.
Okay.
And the problem is that he mentioned it to me, but look,
he didn't change though. And he was talking, it took so long, and, you know, and he wanted 10 copies. I said, okay, first look. This is just one document.
The customer tells me that I must get it. I'm not sure about the correct citation.
I'm not sure what happened to me. This is my first time, so I'm not sure.
So you'll be cutting from now?
Yeah, it will depend on the schedule, because sometimes it
changes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
My details. Your colleagues have all our details, you know that.
But I don't
think you're asking. Why are they hiding all details from
you?